But this guy had bought hundreds and hundreds of acres around that cabin, from the highway to the cell towers. I remember the wife was real friendly and so smart. I was having difficulties figuring out what to charge them, and she calculated the number of boxes and distance carried. "Where did the boxes come from?" Ozzie asked. "Not sure. I can't remember. They were all shipped by truck to our old warehouse in Otter Rock. Wait, I remember now. When they arrived, there was no return address on them, and the driver of the truck wouldn't tell us where he'd come from. The boxes were unloaded in our warehouse, and then the couple told us where to bring them. It was all a little odd, but that was kind of our specialty. Off and odd. I suppose that's why things eventually went under for us."
"That and my spells."
"You're something else, Wren."
"Thank you."
"Why do you care about these people?"
Ed asked Ozzie.
"And why don't you just go talk to them?"
"They moved a long time ago," Ozzie said.
"Really?
I wonder who had to move their boxes up.
I pray it was Dumb Doyle."
"Probably was," Wren lied.
"Anything more you can tell us?" Ozzie asked.
"No, and if you'd asked me about any other job, I wouldn't have remembered. There's something about carrying so many boxes for so many miles that's stuck in my craw."
"One more question," Ozzie said. "Did you ever tell anyone else about them living out there?"
"No. That extra 500 meant a lot to me. Of course, I can't speak for my employees. They might have said something, even though they weren't supposed to. And 7 years is a long time. Look at me. I'm talking now."
"Right," Ozzie said.
"Well, Ed, we should go," Wren said. "But before we do, are there any spells you might need or wizardly acts I can perform? How's your sleep?"
"I still don't believe you're a wizard," Ed reminded Wren.
"Oh, how ignorance clouds our intelligence."
"Whatever,"
Ed said, standing up.
"Wait," Ozzie said. "By any chance do you remember doing business with some men wearing green about the same time? Maybe they talked to your men?"
"No business, but," Ed said excitedly, "I do remember seeing a group of men wearing all green at the gas station up the street years ago. It was weird because they looked out of place and they were arguing with the gas station attendant about filling up the van. All of them were in green. I would have thought they were hunters, but their clothes were solid green, not camo. Plus, they were obviously not outdoorsy."
"What kind of van were they driving?" Wren asked.
"Red. I remember it because it looked like Christmas when they stood next to it."
"I get that," Ozzie said.
"I remember now. I was with my employee, Matt, and he talked to one of them while he was buying some zebra cakes."
"Really?" Ozzie said, now working to keep his excitement under control. "What did they talk about?"
"I don't know. And you can't ask Matt because he died 5 years ago in a four-wheeler accident."
"Anything else?" Ozzie pleaded.
"It was a really nice four-wheeler," Ed said, looking confused.
"No, anything else about the men in green?"
"Oh, no. That's it. Green men, red van. Seemed out of place."
"Did any of them have beards?"
"Could have. I hate to be rude, but Wheel starts after these commercials."
"Right," Wren said. "Well, thanks for your time and for being so forgiving for things someone may or may not have done in the past."
"Again, I don't blame you. And I don't think magic is real."
"You're wrong about
Wheels on,"
Ed interrupted.
"See ya."
Ozzie and Wren left Ed's home and drove to the gas station up the street that was just off Mule Pole Highway. Ozzie went inside the convenience store, hoping that somehow the green men might still be there all these years later. They weren't, so he bought a few groceries, including some pepperoni, a loaf of bread, a couple Sprites, and a box of zebra cakes to console himself. The purchase made the drive home a little better.
Chapter 27 Breaking Curfew. Rin dropped Ozzy and Clark off on the highway near the train tracks. On the ride back, they had made plans to meet at the Jack in the Box the next day at 1:30. It was on the edge of town, so Rin felt they would be safe meeting there.
Plus, they have a breakfast sandwich that uses waffles for the bun.
Ozzy and Clark hiked back to the cloaked house, wondering if they were making progress or spinning in circles. The afternoon was gone, and twilight was making a big, showy push to be noticed. When they arrived home, Ozzy made a pepperoni sandwich and ate it with some canned peaches for dinner. He washed it all down with 2 bottles of Yoo-Hoo. You know, it might not be as easy for us to go grocery shopping now that the town's interested in who you are, Clark pointed out.
That's true.
Ozzy put a bit of a peach in his mouth and swallowed. There are other grocery stores listed in the ORVG. We'll just find one that seems safe. So now that you've spent the day with Labyrinth, how do you feel about his wizard abilities?
I don't know. I just wonder why he doesn't do something with his magic wand or pull out a crystal ball and just tell me the answers himself.
He did turn you invisible. In front of a blind guy, Ozzy reminded the bird. Still, that's something. And the words he used for the spell all rhymed. I think that's impressive. Plus, he hasn't told anyone about you.
No, he's okay. I mean, I like the guy, I'm just not sure he's a high-level wizard. Actually, I'm not sure about wizards in general.
Ozzy took a big bite of his sandwich. He does like breakfast for dinner.
Is that really even a wizard thing, though? Ozzy said as he chewed.
Sounds like it is.
I'd like to know more about that Timsby guy. He's got the name, and he walked into a polar bear cage. It's just like the tapes. And if Timsby exists, maybe we can find the other people my dad talks about.
Their names were a bit more common.
Still, what they did wasn't.
Ozzy left the kitchen table and headed to his attic room. Clark hopped and fluttered behind him. Once they were up the stairs, Ozzy dug through the tapes and found the one he wanted. He placed it in the machine and it didn't work. The cassette player hadn't been left in the window, so it was dead.
I think we should get some of that electricity stuff here, Clark tweeted. I'd feel safer. What happens if somebody does come looking for this place?
Well, I'm hoping that if they do, they search on the other side of the highway. And this is private property.
How much land do you think your parents own?
I don't know. If Ed's right, a lot.
That makes me feel more important than other birds.
You should already feel that way.
Clark smiled.
You know, I don't know why you need to listen to any tapes, Clark said. You must have all the names your dad talked about memorized.
Ozzy grabbed his tablet. It was still at full power. He opened the browser and typed in the name Lisa, followed by Interrupting Stage Play, and pressed Enter. It took a few seconds, but the first link that popped up was from the New York Daily News. Ozzy clicked on it and read it as if it were a race to the finish. Clark sat on his shoulder, doing some reading of his own. According to the article, Lisa was a prominent New Yorker who, 13 years ago, had walked up onto a stage and began performing. She had no history of mental illness, and she had no memory of doing it.
Holy nest, Clark said with a whistle. Think of another name.
Another name, another coincidence.
This guy was in Paris.
I've never been,
Clark said, as if disappointed that Ozzy had never taken him there.
Neither have I, Ozzy said. Remember? But this is much more than just coincidence. We need to tell Rin.
He's probably busy eating pancakes somewhere. Besides, it's getting dark now, and I spent so much time hidden in your hoodie that my batteries are going to run down pretty soon.
Well, I could go alone.
Go where? Do you know where Rin lives?
No. Maybe on a hill, or in a cottage, or in a round cottage in a hill?
Ozzy speculated.
Really? I imagine him in, like, a little castle.
I don't think Otter Rock has castles.
It has a wizard, Clark reminded him.
That's true. I guess we're just going to have to wait until tomorrow,
the bird reasoned, his voice beginning to slow down and deepen. You've waited all these years. Now it's just a little longer because so often the more you wait, the more you... I'm fading.
Clark closed his eyes and fell over onto the bed. The bird was out for the day. Ozzie carefully picked him up and carried him downstairs. He placed Clark in his shredded ORVG nest and then blew out the two candles that were burning in the kitchen. The cloaked house was dark. Ozzie considered sleeping. The last few days had been tiring, but sleep seemed like a foolish idea. He was uneasy now that there were people who knew the general area in which he lived. He wasn't worried about Rin, but knowing that there were police officers who wanted to know where he was made him jittery. After all, it wasn't like the cloaked house made him invisible. 7 years ago, 5 men had slipped through the trees and changed his life forever. Now, as Ozzie's life was finally beginning to get some traction, he needed to be smart and wary of everything that could cause him further pain. Ozzie opened the front door and stepped down off the porch. Looking up, he saw a few stars, but most of them were covered by small clouds that were lazily drifting across the dark sky. If life was a puzzle, then the last couple of weeks had added more pieces than Ozzie's previous frame could fit. Each day was an expansion of the existence he once knew. Each day was bringing answers, but breeding new worries as well. Ozzie walked through the trees. It was dark, but his eyes adjusted like they always did, and the outlines and shape of everything around him became very clear. Maybe I have super sight, he said to himself. Ozzie sat on a dead tree that was stretched out across the ground like a corpse in the throes of rigor mortis. He didn't want to, but his thoughts went back to the day his parents had been taken. So many life experiences had crowded the memory out and covered up the hurt, but in a couple moments, it instantly became an intense memory again. He tried to quell that pain by imagining that his parents were somewhere safe, and simply unable to get to him. The past was becoming more complicated. Green-clad men who took people but wanted to pump their own gas. Boxes sent from nowhere. Someone named Timsby. Rin. An owl hooted from the east, and Ozzie moved his thoughts from himself to Harry Potter and his owl, Hedwig. Ozzie desperately wanted to be more than he was. He wanted to be like Harry. If I'm just me, then what's the value of any of this? Only the wind answered, and it didn't say a single intelligent thing. Ozzie walked a wide circle around the house and listened for any intruders or disturbance, but eventually he grew tired and returned to the cabin. He stepped in and locked the door behind him, then, moving carefully, he tiptoed around boxes and through the kitchen. His tiptoeing was pointless for 2 reasons. First, Clark couldn't hear anything when he was powered off, and second, Clark wasn't even there. Ozzie looked around frantically. It was dark and the nest was empty.
Clark! See!
The metal bird had never woken up without sunlight. He usually faded and then had to be taken outside the next morning and put in the light. Candles could bring him to life as well, but there wasn't a single one burning.
Clark!
Ozzie ran through the house, looking around boxes and furniture. He climbed the starry stairs and checked his room.
Clark!
Just like the wind, the insides of the cloaked house didn't say a single intelligent thing.
Chapter 28.
I don't know what to do. The cloaked house felt empty. It was as if there were no boxes, no furniture, no rugs or cabinets, just a wooden shell with no feeling or warmth. A static hole void of any emotion or substance. Apparently, the absence of one small metal bird made a big difference. Ozzy couldn't figure out what had happened. His first thought had been that someone had come in and taken Clark, but there was nothing else disturbed, and only the window in his attic bedroom had been open. His second thought was that Rin had come for Clark. The wizard liked the bird, and he was a bit mad, so it wasn't unreasonable to believe such a thing. It was possible that some animal had climbed through the open window and snatched Clark, but the bird was made of metal and had no scent of food or fowl. Any animal sneaking in would have been just as wise to have taken a dish towel or a book or the remains of Ozzy's pepperoni sandwich. Clark! Still no answer. Ozzy knew daylight would help, so he climbed the starry stairs and retired to his room, where he slept fitfully and with a large stick by his bed, just in case. When the sun finally began to rise, Ozzy got up and searched the house more thoroughly. There was still no sign of Clark. He checked outside for strange footprints or animal tracks, but there weren't any. Clark, it seemed, had just disappeared. Ozzy cleaned himself up and changed into a blue t-shirt and black jeans. He walked in circles around the cloaked house, listening and searching for any sign of his bird. But by the time he left to go and meet Rin at Jack in the Box, there was still not a single sign of Clark. Ozzy was beside himself. "Dumb bird," he muttered anxiously as he walked. "You better be okay." The walk to town seemed particularly long. The car ride yesterday had spoiled Ozzy. Walking was much less exciting than speeding along the road going 80 miles an hour. "I need a car! Or to learn how to fly!" he shouted to the universe. Squirrels in the trees around him scattered, but the universe remained stingy and continued to pin Ozzy to the ground. The Jack in the Box was on the opposite side of town from the school and Main Street. It sat next to a pet store called Ma and Pa's and a gas station that sold homemade beef jerky. Ozzy could see through the large front windows of the restaurant that Rin was already inside. He moved out of the trees and walked up the sidewalk to the front door. Rin saw him through the window and motioned for him to hurry. There was nobody else in the restaurant besides the workers behind the counter. "Sit down, quick," Rin whispered fiercely while keeping his eyes on the window. Ozzy sat across from Rin as the wizard worked over a plate of waffles. "Have you seen Clark?" Ozzy asked.
"No," Rin answered with concern. "Is he missing?"
"Yes, he disappeared last night."
"Not good."
"What do you mean, not good?"
"Well, things are getting a little stickier," Rin reported, syrup dripping off his fork. "Sheriff Wills had me come to the station for questioning last night. I guess Doyle went blabbing to him about us stopping there and acting strange. Then the sheriff said they were looking for a high school kid that fit your description. Now he's suspicious of me."
"Should I just turn myself in?" Ozzy said nervously.
"For what? And no, not yet. After talking to the police, I spent the night looking into this Timsby fellow. I even checked his genealogy. It turns out his father's name was Tim, and his mother's name was Maresby."
"Maresby?"
"I know, it's awful. But there are a few connections to New York and possibly your father."
Rin took a bite of his waffles. "I think I found some of those connections as well," Ozzy informed him.
"I found mine with magic. How did you?"
"The internet."
"That's what I mean. That thing is magic. Anyhow, I don't know if we should, but we could make a trip to Portland, maybe talk to Timsby."
Syrup dripped from his beard as Rin spoke.
"It's not that far, and my sister lives there."
"You have a sister?" Ozzy asked. "Is she a witch?"
"No,
Her name's Anne, and she's a fact-checker for a parenting magazine, but that's not saying she can't still be a real witch some days. Rin looked pleased with himself about what he had just said.
That's right, I said it.
He put his hand out so that Ozzie could give him knuckles. Ozzie kept his hand to himself. I don't know your sister.
Right. Rin pulled his hand back. Anyway, what do you think? If you want, I can go alone, but I just have no idea where that will lead to. Maybe your parents are in Portland?
Is there some sort of wizard thing you can do to see if they are? A spell? A trick? Can you look into your soda and glimpse their whereabouts?
Rin shook his head sadly. Oh, Oz, just when I think you're getting close to understanding wizard ways, you take a step back by asking something like that. Wizards are complicated and wise people. Corfelt holds so many secrets, and we are required to act in a way that benefits all mankind. I look in my soda now, and who's to say the ripple effect doesn't destroy the life of another human somewhere? It's a precarious power, and I choose only to use it when the time is right.
Well, I can't go to Portland without first finding...
Something smacked up against the window next to their table and scared the wizard out of them both.
What the?
Rin held his hand to his heart. A bird slid down the glass, and Ozzie could see that it was Clark.
Hang on!
Ozzie ran outside and picked up his friend. He quickly stepped around the corner of the restaurant so that he could examine him privately.
Are you okay, Clark?
The bird was dazed, but otherwise fine. I hate glass, he said. What a sadistic thing for people to use.
Forget the glass. Where were you?
I don't want to say.
Why not? I was worried sick. I thought someone took you.
No, I had more juice in me than you thought. In fact, I was fully charged when I faked sleeping.
Why?
Can't we just be glad that I'm here? Were you in the forest? Clark cleared his beak, but didn't speak.
Did you go into town? I mean, why would you...
Oh, you went to see the trash can.
You don't know that.
Well, did you?
Clark put his head down.
Maybe.
Ozzie laughed.
I don't care if you go see a trash can. I just care that you're okay.
I guess I'm okay, but it didn't go well.
Rejected by a bin?
She just sat there staring at me until my batteries died. When I woke up this morning, people were throwing things away in her.
Rin had finished his waffles and grown curious. He made his way outside to see what was going on.
Everything's fine, Ozzie reported. Clark just wanted some alone time with a trash can.
And it doesn't matter now, because it's over, Clark insisted.
I'm sorry to hear that, the wizard said. But since you're back, we can all travel to Portland. Sure, we can hope to find out more here, but as long as the police are looking for you, it could be difficult.
A trip would be nice, Clark chirped. It might help clear my head.
All right, let's go to Portland, Ozzie said. But I need to get a few things from home first.
Of course, the wizard said, and I need my yellow traveling robe. I'll drive you to the train tracks, then I'll stop over at my place and be back to pick you up around 3. But before we do that, we should go back inside and get something else to eat.
Rin patted his stomach.
Those waffles weren't that filling.
Actually, Ozzie said, if it's okay with you, I've always wanted to try going through a drive-thru.
Say no more! Rin replied happily. Hop in the car and we'll hit the through. To the car!
Clark flew up on top of Ozzie's head and began to knead his hair.
I'm glad you're okay.
Well, I'm not 100%, Clark revealed. But in time, I'll love again.
Ozzie shook his head.
Clark held on with one foot and continued to work Ozzie's hair with the other.
Chapter 29 Won't You Look Up at the Skyline?
The drive-through was everything Ozzie dreamed it would be.
He got a breakfast sandwich and French toast sticks. Rin got a waffle and egg sandwich and two orders of hash browns. Clark got a side order of onions because he had heard good things about the texture. Rin dropped Ozzie and Clark off at the train tracks, and Ozzie jogged home as fast as he could. He gathered a change of clothes and then went to the secret compartment in the stairs and stocked up on money. He closed up the cabin with Clark on his head and started back to the tracks, where they waited for 20 minutes before Rin arrived.
"Sorry I'm late," Rin said as they drove off. "My ex-wife wasn't sure she wanted me to use the car, so I had to wait for her to leave and sneak the keys."
"Oh.
It's kind of a game we play. I borrow the car, I use her workshop, I take what I want from her garden, I... Well, it's not much of a game, it's just me borrowing things."
The drive to Portland was a little over an hour long, and the scenery and feeling of freedom was so exhilarating to Ozzie that it seemed to go much too fast. Before he knew it, they were approaching the city, and buildings bigger than he had seen since he was a child in New York began to pop up all over like bulky beacons welcoming him to true civilization. There were more roads and cars than Ozzie thought existed in the whole world. Rin wasn't the greatest driver on deserted roads, and he was even worse in the city. Cars and trucks, many sizes larger than the white wizard-mobile, whizzed by them on all sides, honking and almost clipping them.
"Is this safe?"
Ozzie yelled.
"Not really."
A large semi-truck passed by on the left, and the wake of wind it created caused the car to almost lift off the ground.
"This is insane!"
Clark hollered, standing on the dashboard, his copper-tipped talons digging in. The vehicle drove up over a tall bridge that spanned a wide river.
"That's the Willamette River!"
Rin yelled.
"I don't care!"
Clark squawked back.
"Just don't let us die over or in it!"
They came down off the bridge and drove farther into the heart of Portland.
"I don't believe this place," Ozzie said with wide gray eyes. "It's like a scene from a book."
"It is beautiful," Rin added. "I can't think of any place I like better than here."
"So why do you live in Otter Rock?"
"I have commitments in Otter Rock. Besides, I don't want to live this close to my sister. She can be unstable."
"You mean the sister we're about to visit?"
"Yep."
Rin turned onto a side street covered by a canopy of trees. The buildings grew smaller and turned from square ones with sharp corners to homes with round-edged roofs and interesting architecture.
"Now, when we get there, we're going to have to tell my sister the truth."
"Right," Ozzie agreed.
"Even though she's not always the best sister, she'll be cool. Probably."
"Just get us there so I can get out of this thing and throw up some bolts and wires," Clark pleaded.
"Poof," the wizard said. "We're here."
Rin pulled the car into a small driveway and parked it behind a green car with an orange bumper sticker that said, "Honk if you dare." Rin turned off the engine and looked at Ozzie and Clark.
"I have a favor to ask."
"Is it something you should have asked in Otter Rock?" Ozzie asked. "Something you maybe should have asked before we were actually here?"
"I'm not sure, but it's not a big thing," Rin promised. "It's just that my sister Anne is a wampin, a non-believer. She thinks wizards aren't real."
"So she doesn't believe you exist?" Clark asked.
"Not at all. I've showed her all the things that I think she's ready to see, but as a wizard, I know that some people just aren't built for the truth."
"Right," Ozzie said. "What's the favor?"
"Could we pretend that I brought Clark to life?"
"What?"
Clark asked.
"No way! Can't you just conjure up some creature or magical beast?"
Rin shook his head sadly.
"Oh, Ozzie. Magic is not a piece of clay you can mold, unless you're working with spell dough, and we only need to pretend for tonight and tomorrow. My poor sister needs to see a sign to believe, and a talking metal crow is pretty hard to beat.
I'm a raven.
Right. So, what do you say?
What was all that talk about honesty? Clark asked.
It's well known in Corfelt that complete honesty is one of the most dangerous of gifts. It's also one I haven't received yet. I'm honest in almost all of my dealings, but when it comes to my sister, I could use a little help.
Fine, Clark said, but if I do this, you owe me a favor. Also, no telling me to do anything I don't want to do. I'm not your butler.
I can agree to that, but what if she asks me to command you to do something?
Don't make it humiliating.
Excellent. She's going to eat her words about me.
Rin smiled whiter than Ozzy had ever seen him smile before.
Ready?
The three got out of the car.
Maybe you should go under my hat, Clark, Rin suggested. Then I'll let you out with a flurry for effect.
He lifted his pointy gray hat. Clark grumbled and flew to the top of Rin's head. Rin set his hat back down, completely covering Clark. Ozzy followed Rin up a thin walkway to a yellow door. The wizard knocked three times and then took a step back. They heard the sound of something moving around inside, followed by the door popping open. In front of them stood Rin's sister, Anne. She had deep black hair that was puffy on top and blue eyes that matched the color of her sandals. Her smile was welcoming like a warm meal. She was thin and wearing a pink skirt and a white blouse. Overall, she was much prettier, younger, and put together than Ozzy had thought she'd be.
Brian! Anne said happily.
It's Rin now, remember?
Of course.
The brother wizard and sister fact-checker hugged in a way most movies hope to capture. When the embrace ended, Anne stepped back and looked at Ozzy. Her shiny eyes welled up just a bit.
You must be Ozzy, she said. Come in. My brother's told me your whole story.
He has? Sorry,
Rin whispered.
He called last night, and I just couldn't believe what you've been through. You poor boy.
Before Ozzy could stop her, Anne lunged forward and gave him a hug. As a 14-year-old boy, Ozzy was pretty certain that hugs were not for him. But being a 14-year-old boy who had lost his mother years before and had since then experienced very little human contact, the hug was like a clean, clear lake discovered after years of wandering through a dry, dusty desert.
Now, Anne said after the hug ended, is anyone hungry?
Ozzy wasn't, but he nodded yes.
Good.
Anne waved them both all the way in and shut the yellow door behind them. Chapter 30. Relatively Sane. The interior of Anne's house was interesting, to say the least, and charming, to say the most. It was filled with unusual knick-knacks like unicorns and Star Wars figures that were set up in different poses around the room. There was a jukebox in the corner, and her couch had mismatched cushions. Everything was clean, though, and it did have a kind of wizard sister feel. Anne led her brother and Ozzy into the open dining space next to the front room. She waved her hands and motioned for them to take a seat. Ozzy took a red chair on the side of the table, and Rin sat in a blue chair at the head.
Can I get you two anything to drink before we eat? Warm almond milk, maybe?
Is that something people like? Ozzy asked her.
Not everyone. I'm just not sure how to be a good host to someone who's been through such an ordeal.
Anne looked directly at Ozzy. Do you have Sprite? He asked.
I'm so sorry. This is a no-sugar house.
Ozzy looked around and wondered if she was talking about what the home was made from. If Rin was a wizard, maybe she was a witch with a tempting candy house, except her home was sugar-free to tempt all the little Portland kids who didn't eat sugar. Anne noticed him looking around and felt a need to explain herself.
What I mean is that there's no sugar allowed here.
Ozzy looked worried. Is that the law?
Rin's sister smiled. It should be, but it's not. I just don't allow it.
Rin looked at Ozzy and rolled his eyes.
I'll have water if that's okay, Ozzy said. Water it is.
I'll have warm almond milk, Rin said.
Anne walked off into the kitchen.
What did I tell you? My sister can be a real pill.
She seems pretty nice, and aside from the toys in her house, not at all like you.
Excuse me, Rin said, sounding offended. I would never just open my toys and put them out like that. The value is in keeping them in mint condition. Did you see that first run Han Solo just sitting on the coffee table? It's barbaric.
I wouldn't know.
Well, take it from a wizard. It is.
Hey, Clark said from under Rin's hat. When can I get out of here? My batteries aren't as charged as they should be.
Hold on, Rin whispered defensively. I'm waiting for the right moment. It's going to be a whole big reveal.
I like the sound of that, Clark said. But could you hurry it up?
Shh!
Anne came back into the room carrying two plates of food.
Are you shushing me? She asked.
No, I was starting to say sure and changed my mind.
Rin's sister set the food down in front of her two guests.
This is something I just came up with. Enjoy.
She then went back to the kitchen. Ozzy looked down at his plate. He wasn't a food snob by any stretch of the imagination. He had grown up eating nothing but fish and fries-dried food and the few vegetables he grew in his garden. He'd even consumed a lot of canned goods that were years past their expiration date. No, Ozzy was not picky, but what was in front of him now made his stomach turn.
Is this food? He asked Rin.
The plate was covered with a gel-like substance the color of faded green furniture. Sprigs of some type of root vegetable stuck out of the goo, and a square flesh-colored cube was plopped in the center of the plate.
My sister's a health nut, Rin whispered. Just push the stuff around and pretend you're eating it. That's what I do.
Ozzy dipped his spoon in the goo and took a lick.
Does she not use salt? It tastes like glue.
She only uses seasonings she can grow herself.
Anne came back into the room with her plate and a pitcher of water. She filled everyone's glasses and took a seat.
So, how is it?
Delicious, thank you,
Ozzy lied.
Reminds me of Grandma's farm, Rin said. Thank you, too.
Anne took a bite of her own creation, and Ozzy could have sworn that he saw her wince just a bit. She finished chewing and spoke.
So, at 7, you were left alone?
I was.
And you raised yourself without any help? How did you eat?
Our basement was filled to the ceiling with boxes of canned and dried food. I think my parents were planning to not go anywhere for a while. I also planted a small garden, and the house has water.
But no electricity?
No.
You speak so well. How is that possible? I mean, I don't want to be insulting, but I imagined you sounding more like Tarzan or the Jungle Boy.
I think I speak like I do because I have tapes of my father talking, and I listen to them all the time.
Oh, that's just so sad.
It is. Ozzy said, feeling no need to hide the truth.
You must have been so scared.
Terrified. For so long I thought it would always just be me. Sometimes I would see planes flying overhead, and the books I read suggested there was much more out there. But for the most part it felt like my world was the cloaked house and loneliness.
The cloaked house? She asked.
It's what I call my home. It's a cabin. But over the years, vegetation has almost consumed it to the point that it looks like it's part of the forest.
Unbelievable. And now you're trying to find your parents?
I am,
green men took them? She said compassionately. Well, men wearing green. So terribly sad. And look at me, making things worse by keeping you from your food. Eat up.
Ozzy took a small bite of the blobby square. Luckily, it tasted like nothing.
So good, Ozzy said.
I love to cook. I think someday I'll open a food truck. Anne's Edibles.
Will you serve this?
Rin asked, fidgeting with his hat.
I might. Now, tell me why you two came to Portland.
Ozzy wasn't usually prone to just talking and talking, but by doing so, he could avoid the meal that Anne thought was edible. He told her more of his backstory, and about school, and Timsby. He would have gone on, but Clark was itching for the big reveal. The bird sank its claws into Rin's scalp, gently reminding the wizard to get on with it.
Ah!
Rin yelped.
Are you okay? His sister asked. Is the food too spicy?
I'm fine. I was just having another wizardly premonition.
Really?
Anne said, sounding doubtful.
Yes, really. I feel the need to warn you that you should buy more sunscreen before the summer arrives.
I have 3 tubes in the hall closet.
You can heed my warning if you wish, or you can walk blindly into the future, pretending you see more than you do.
Anne sighed.
So, how is the wizard business these days, big brother?
It's just as it should be.
And you still won't consider going back to teaching?
Ha! Rin said. I teach every day and every moment.
That's true, Ozzy said. Earlier he showed me how a drive-through works. That's why you two aren't eating more, Anne said. I knew there was a reason.
Sorry, Ozzy said. I didn't know you would be serving food.
No problem. I'm just so relieved that it's not my cooking.
Clark did some more scalp scratching.
Yeah!
Rin said.
I feel we should bring the conversation back to me. I have a strong feeling that you still don't accept me for who I am.
I accept you. I just don't want to support something that won't benefit your future.
What? Everything I do benefits the future of mankind. If Corfelt taught me anything, it's that I have a duty to help every living creature. I think you still doubt my abilities.
Maybe.
Well, then maybe this will help.
Rin ripped off his hat to reveal Clark.
Abrachasm!
It might have been a big reveal if the darkness of being under Rin's hat hadn't temporarily shut Clark down. So instead of a magical speaking bird gliding down onto the table, there was what looked like just a tangled mess of metal and wings stuck in Rin's hair.
Are you kidding me?
Rin said, deflated.
Wake up, Clark!
Is that some sort of bird toy? Anne asked.
No, you'll see.
The sun coming through the windows brought Clark back to life. He instantly began to thrash and struggle to get out of Rin's bushy mop.
I'm stuck! Clark chirped. My talons twisted around your hair!
Anne screamed in surprise at the motion and voice of Clark.
What is that?
It's Clark, Ozzy said. He's a bird.
Ozzy stood up and helped untangle Clark from Rin's hair. As soon as the bird was free, he flew around the room in a tight, speedy circle. Anne did some more screaming.
Clark!
Rin shouted.
Behave!
The bird swooped down and landed on the table next to Rin. He looked at Anne's startled face and took a gracious bow.
Clark, at your service, miss. Is it a toy or a drone of some sort?
Excuse me,
Clark said.
No, it's Clark, my wizard companion.
It's made of metal, Anne pointed out.
And some leather,
Rin told her.
I don't understand.
I'm a bird, Clark said. I can fly, talk, and think for myself. For example, I think your home looks like it was decorated by a child.
Thank you, Anne said.
That's what I was going for. But how are you moving around and speaking?
Light. It touches my back here.
Using his right wing, Clark pointed to the silver strip on his back.
The rest is magic.
Clark turned and winked at Rin. Rin nodded in approval.
I'm not sure what you really are, Anne admitted, but you're remarkable. Now it's my turn to say thank you.
Clark flew around the room a couple of more times.
I don't understand that, Anne said while pointing towards the flying bird.
You heard the bird. Magic, Rin insisted.
Clark glided in for a smooth landing next to Anne. She pulled back in her seat as if frightened.
I won't bite.
You can't tell anyone about the bird, Rin informed his sister. I'm trusting you as family.
Anne nodded.
Now, could we use your computer?
Anne kept her eyes on Clark.
But you haven't finished your food.
The drive-thru, remember?
Rin said.
Right. I'll store it in the fridge for later.
Ozzy and Rin passed their food to Anne. Ozzy had always wanted to have a refrigerator. The ability to keep food fresh and eat it later was very appealing. Now, however, he wasn't so sure.
Chapter 31 A Square Window.
Ozzy was given the guest bedroom to sleep in for the night. It was a small room with a bed that looked and felt like a marshmallow. The sheets were made with a magic that rivaled anything Anne's brother had ever done. Like his attic room in the cloaked house, there was a single dormer with a single window. Unlike the cloaked house, this window was square and looked out over a neighborhood park. The window's view was best when Ozzy stretched out on the bed and looked up at the dark sky. The stars looked so different than they did at home. There were fewer of them, and they didn't seem as alert and twinkling. Ozzy had spent many nights looking at the stars, wondering how they could connect him to his missing parents. Now, as he rested in a beautiful bed in a different spot on the globe, he could see that despite the differences, everything was somehow hooked together. Clark was standing on a wicker chair next to the bed. He clawed at the straw seat, trying to make a comfortable place to rest. There was a knock on the bedroom door.
Yes?
Ozzy called out. The door opened a few inches, and Anne stuck her head in.
I just wanted to make sure everything's okay.
It is, Ozzy answered.
It might seem out of place for me to say this, but wherever your parents are, I'm certain they would be very proud of what you've done.
Thanks, Ozzy said, a feeling of warmth and safety overcoming him. At that moment, all he wanted was to never leave that bed again. He wanted to stay in a room with a window where he could watch the stars and a lady who checked on him to make sure he was okay.
Good night, Ozzy.
Good night. Anne shut the door quietly.
She seems way more normal than Rin, Clark whispered.
Still, Ozzy said, I can see how they're related. It's the noses. And what about tomorrow? Are you nervous?
Tomorrow could be big, or it could be a bust. After dinner, everyone had gathered at the computer, and Anne had found the address of Timsby's law offices, and when it was open, she printed out a map with directions. It was only a 10-minute drive, and Ozzy couldn't wait to go there tomorrow.
I just hope he's there.
Yeah, Clark agreed.
And that he'll talk to us.
Why wouldn't he? Clark asked. You're a nice person with a question only he can answer.
Thanks, but it might be weird to him to have a wizard and a boy he doesn't know just show up at his work.
That seems perfectly normal to me. Besides, isn't Portland supposed to be weird?
That's true.
You want to talk about anything else, or should I just shut down?
You can shut down if you want. I was just thinking how much things have changed for us. It used to be just you and me. The world seemed like a different place than what I see out the window now.
It's the same place, Clark said. There are just more things to fly into.
Good night, Clark.
With a tick and a click, the bird shut down. Ozzie continued to stare out at the starry sky, thinking about tomorrow and what it could mean. Eventually, sleep settled over him, and the boy, like the bird, shut down for the night.
Chapter 32. A Relative in the Ointment. Timsby Lane sat behind a large wooden desk in his corner office on the 33rd floor of the Coin Center building in downtown Portland. He was 41 and graying more than someone his age should be. He'd been quite successful over the last 15 years. His swanky surroundings testified to that. He was wearing a light blue dress shirt with heavy cufflinks at his wrists and an elaborately tied necktie that most style magazines would put in the power category. His face was clean-shaven, and, even sitting, he looked tall. Timsby flipped through a pile of papers, making tiny notations in the corners. It was only 10 o'clock, but he was already thinking about taking off early and getting in some golf. His desk phone buzzed. He pressed a button on the phone and leaned in.
"Yes?" he said.
"Sorry to bother you, Mr. Lane, but there's a wizard here to see you."
"Excuse me?"
Timsby said.
"A wizard?"
"That's what he says."
Timsby checked the calendar on his desk to make sure it wasn't April Fool's Day. It wasn't.
"I don't understand what you're saying,"
Timsby said into the phone.
"Should I have him leave?"
Lots of people came to see Timsby Lane. He was not only an excellent lawyer, but he was involved in the community, with his fingers in many pies and other important pieces of the day-to-day in Portland. It wasn't unusual for clients to come see him, or for odd members of the community to stop by and ask for his professional help, or a donation to their cause.
"Is he a client?"
Mr. Lane asked.
"No, he's with a young man."
"Tell him to make an appointment, and I'll meet with them later."
Mr. Lane went back to thinking about golf. The phone buzzed again.
"So sorry, Mr. Lane, but he told me he wouldn't leave until you were aware that he was here to talk about two doctors named Emmett and Mia Toffee."
Timsby Lane sat up straight in his wing-back leather desk chair. Emmett and Mia Toffee were two names he hadn't heard in a very long time. His heart began to pound, and it took a moment for him to gather his breath.
"Mr. Lane?"
his assistant asked.
"Are you there?"
"Send them in,"
he finally managed to say. A few moments later, the heavy office doors opened, and Labyrinth and Ozzie stepped in. Timsby stood up, still trying to compose himself. He was a lawyer and used to being coolly composed, even when internally flustered, which is why he was so bothered by not being able to get his heart rate under control.
"Come in,"
Mr. Lane said.
"Please, have a seat."
He motioned to the overstuffed leather chairs sitting in front of his desk. Before Ozzie and Rin could sit down, however, Mr. Lane came from around his desk and shook both of their hands.
"I'm Labyrinth, and this is Frizzle," Rin said as his hand was being shaken, giving Ozzie yet another fake name. "We apologize for bothering you, but there might be something you know that we need to borrow."
Mr. Lane returned to his chair while his two guests settled into theirs.
"My assistant said your last name was Wizard?"
Mr. Lane asked, thinking he had just heard her wrong.
"No,"
Rin corrected him, sounding as if Mr. Lane's assistant had made an embarrassing social blunder.
"I am a wizard."
"I see,"
Mr. Lane said, willing to play along, to a point.
"Well, if she was correct about the wizard part, I'm going to have to assume that she was correct about you mentioning the Toffees."
"Well, as they say in Corfelt,
When you assume, you make a guess based on what you see and think.
That's very straightforward, Mr. Lane said, having no idea what a Corfelt was.
I thought you'd appreciate it, being a lawyer and all.
This is interesting, Mr. Wizard. But could we get to what brought you here?
Labyrinth, or Rin, Rin said. Did you know the Toffees?
Yes, and that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
How long, exactly?
Rin asked.
We wizards work on a different time scale. I have a friend who took over 500 years to create a spell that a first-level wizard could have created in 300.
Mr. Lane looked puzzled, but still answered the question.
I suppose it's been more than 7 years since I've seen Dr. Toffee.
And where did you last see him?
Rin asked. First, can I ask why you're interested? It's not every day that a wizard walks through my door and starts asking questions about my personal relationships.
Ozzy spoke up. Actually, it started as a school project. I was researching inventors and I came across Dr. Toffee. There's not much about him, and as I tried to find out more, I guess the mystery just got to me. I mean, I want to get an A on my project, but now more than anything, I want to find out what happened to him. I figured talking to you would show that I have gumption and get me an A for sure.
Oh, I can respect that. Frizzle, is it?
Ozzy reluctantly nodded.
Sadly, however, I don't think the little bit I know will help your paper much.
It's worth a shot, Ozzy said.
It is worth a shot,
Mr. Lane said, liking the gumption that Ozzy was showing in his pursuit of good grades.
I knew Dr. Emmett and Dr. Mia when I lived in New York. I had just passed the bar exam and started working for a firm called Swilt, Leonard, and Wagon. Dr. Emmett was one of our smaller clients, and so he was given to me to take care of. He was only about 5 years older than me, and really, his legal needs were minor. But we became friends, of a sort. I must have had dinner with him and his wife on 3 or 4 occasions. He used to invite people over to his house to socialize. He really liked to throw a party.
Really? Ozzy asked.
Yes. They were good people, and we had no reason to think anything was strange or amiss. Then, one day, they were gone.
Just like that?
Rin asked.
Just like that, Timsby reiterated. Because I was their lawyer, their landlord contacted me. He was concerned because their apartment was empty, and they hadn't said anything about leaving. The only thing in the apartment was a short note.
What did it say? Ozzy asked.
I can't remember exactly. Just that they were okay and that they wished everyone they knew well. It was a shock to those who knew them that they were gone. The police were called in, but no actual crime had been committed, and the note explained, well, enough, I suppose. Once the curiosity died down, there was very little mention of them. My wife and I moved out here about a year after that.
Can I ask you about the zoo?
Timsby blinked and fiddled with the tip of his nose nervously.
If you mean the polar bear incident, there's even less to say about that. I had an episode of some sort and wandered into a polar bear enclosure. I don't remember anything about it.
Nothing?
I remember being questioned by the police and my wife wondering whom she'd married. What would that have to do with Emmett and Mia?
Probably nothing. It just popped up when I searched for your name. You've got to admit it's pretty interesting.
Well, no. It was horrible, and I still don't understand it.
Sorry, Ozzy said sincerely. One last question. Do you still keep in touch with any of those dinner guests?
Heavens, no. There were about 5 of us, and I only knew them through Emmett and Mia. When the Toffees left New York, I never saw them again.
Any names you can remember?
Wow, you are serious about getting that A, Mr. Lane said. And no, I don't. There might have been a Susan and a Milo. Oh, right. One of them was Dr. Emmett's half-brother.
What? Ozzy asked in shock.
His half-brother, Timsby said. Charles or John? He had a different last name than Emmett, and I can't recall it. He wasn't a pleasant person. He'd make bad jokes and then pout when people didn't react